How do you solve a massive youth unemployment crisis and a severe community housing shortage at the exact same time? Welcome to your custom deep dive. Today, our mission is analyzing an official document from the Western Cape detailing the Youth in Built Environment program. And, well, okay, let's unpack this, because on the surface, this might just look like a standard government training course.
Right, like another typical skills program.
Exactly. But you read the fine print and you realize it is actually this strategic initiative designed to turn the problem into the solution. They are trying to physically build community housing while, simultaneously turning unemployed youth into a skilled workforce.
Yeah, it is a completely dual-purpose model. I mean, you have a socioeconomic crisis on one hand, an infrastructure deficit on the other, and this program attempts to just crash them together so they sort of cancel each other out.
But I mean, handing a marginalized 18-year-old a hard hat doesn't instantly make them a builder.
Right.
There is a massive gap between being willing to work and actually being site ready.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why, before looking at the specific trades being taught, we first need to understand who this initiative is actually designed to empower.
Right. So looking at the baseline criteria, applicants need to be unemployed South African citizens between 18 and 34 with a minimum of a grade 10 education. So it functions less like a traditional apprenticeship and more like a VIP fast pass into the trades.
Yeah, it is purposely built to bypass those expensive barriers to entry that keep young people out of the economy entirely. And what's fascinating here is the deliberate targeting.
How so?
Well, the document explicitly calls for historically disadvantaged individuals and people with disabilities. And furthermore, they are actively trying to disrupt the traditional demographic of the construction industry by strongly encouraging women to apply.
Oh, wow. So the real push for gender balance, too.
Exactly. They recognize that if you want to genuinely rebuild a community, the workforce needs to actually reflect that community.
That makes a lot of sense. And they even modernized the recruitment flow, right? The document highlights the use of digital avenues, like the SAYouth.mobi platform.
Right, which is huge for accessibility.
Yeah, because for a young person without the resources to print resumes or, travel to recruitment centers, a zero-rated mobile platform removes those geographic and financial hurdles completely.
It creates a highly accessible entry point. But, once they are through the door, the expectations shift pretty dramatically.
Yeah, they really do. And that brings us to the actual training. I'm looking at the trades offered here. We've got plumbing, carpentry, bricklaying, safety and health practitioner.
All very high demand skills.
For sure. But I have to push back a bit on the intense bureaucracy involved.
Yeah.
I get that construction is dangerous, but the application process requires certified IDs, proof of address, a bank account, a formal medical examination, and signing a 3 to 12 month EPWP agreement.
Right, the Expanded Public Works Program.
Yeah, exactly, which is a government framework for temporary work. But doesn't that massive wall of bureaucracy kind of defeat the purpose of an accessible program for disadvantaged youth?
You would think so, but the friction you're pointing out is actually a critical feature of the program. I mean, many of these young people are completely unbanked,
Wow,
with.
so they operate entirely outside the formal economy.
Exactly. So requiring a bank account and proof of address forces that formal integration. As for the EPWP legal agreements and the strict medical fitness certificates, well, those exist because the training isn't just theoretical classroom work in a sandbox somewhere.
Right, they're out in the real world.
Yeah, they are deployed to active municipal housing projects. The program utilizes accredited short skills, meaning 3 months of institutional learning paired directly with 3 months of practical on-site exposure. Or, they do full 12-month learnerships.
Wow, so real hands-on experience.
Totally. And when you put untrained youth onto a live construction site where heavy machinery and structural integrity are in play, well, medical fitness is a critical safety mandate. The rigorous paperwork bridges that gap from casual volunteer to accountable professional.
That makes perfect sense.
What?
The stakes are real because the buildings are real. And for you listening right now, whether you are interested in public policy or workforce development, this document serves as a brilliant blueprint for tying individual employability directly to community infrastructure.
It really does. It creates this closed loop system where the government gets the infrastructure it needs, while the youth get the skills and formal economic integration they desperately require.
Right.
And the skills they acquire, whether in bricklaying or plumbing, they are permanent. Long after the government contract ends, that human capital just remains in the neighborhood.
I love that. The document specifically notes that this program enables the, quote, effective participation of communities' housing delivery chain, which really leaves me with this final thought for you to ponder. We started by talking about the mechanics of this program, but how does it fundamentally alter the social fabric and the civic pride of a neighborhood when the community's housing is physically built by its own youth?